Welcome to The Stuff, the podcast where you and I literally talk about what else? Stuff. This is your comedic escapist podcast show, and I'm your host, Ian Walker. Now, let's go talk about some stuff. You're listening to the Best of the Stuff Podcast Show. So, nerd culture is making a resurgence in a way that I'd say has never been kind of seen before, especially with the resurgence of superhero films, the deal with Stranger Things, you know, having, you know, Dungeons and Dragons being brought back up to the forefront, having crazy resurgence like it hasn't been for a long time. You know, right now, you know, it's pretty cool to be a nerd right now, I like to say. Me personally, I could say I've been on the bandwagon. Not bandwagon, ain't no bandwagon, I am a nerd. Bandwagon means, you know, you was never a nerd and you're trying to be a nerd and you can't be a nerd correctly. You know, because everybody knows that you too cool for school and then you try to be like them and it ain't right. I ain't on no bandwagon. I am a nerd. It's just first impression. You look at me and it's like, could this guy be a nerd? I don't know. Maybe. You know, you look at me and you be like, okay, he might be. I'm not sure. And then I open my mouth and say something about Power Rangers. It's like, yeah, this dude a nerd. Oh my God. Won't he shut up? You know, that's me. But you know, it's cool to be a nerd right now. It's cool to have your little interests in things. And a lot of people are kind of undercover about it. I was at work today, and one of the people had a unique license plate. It said it was Bitten 7, I believe it was. And she said, yeah, I'm an undercover vampire dork. And I just laughed. I chuckled. I said, you know what? I'm a nerd, too. I ain't even got a trip. Don't worry about it. You know? And told her about some of the things that I like to do. And, you know, we just had a nice conversation back and forth. And you'd be amazed a lot of people who are a lot older who actually have these deep down, deep-seated, fun things that they like to do. Because culture kind of, so much has stamped that out. I firmly believe that society and culture has stamped out the need for imagination and fun. Because they want children to grow up so fast, and they want adults to forget that they were ever children in some form or fashion. And so those that kind of can't ever let go of that have ended up just suppressing it for such a long time. Being at the job that I work at, I've met so many people who deep down are just straight up dorks, just nerds, you know, who love these things. I've met Star Wars nerds. I've met cosplayers. I've met, you know, gamers, you know, and these people are like anywhere from their 20s all the way up into their 50s and 60s who just love this type of thing. And I think it is super cool. The woman I was talking about today, she goes, I love the fact you're just a grown man and you just love doing that type of thing. I said, yeah, girl, please, I'll do what I want. I'm a grown man, judge me. I don't care. Yes, I love this type of stuff and I will continue to do it and I will enjoy it. Yas, because that's what I enjoy. I'm not going to be the type of person that's going to pretend that, you know, just because I'm 38 years old that I can't enjoy certain kids' things. I mean, those things that I enjoy are things that have very strong ties and memories to my childhood. I don't want to let those things go. And they bring a lot of happiness, too, in a whole lot of ways. So for me to let go of those and to, you know, act like they never happened or to forget that they ever exist, I think is very foolish. And it keeps a person that decides to do that, keeps them from being well-rounded. It keeps them from being down to earth and it keeps them from being balanced. And it keeps them to, in a deeper level, keeps them from being understanding in a lot of ways. One of my greatest loves that I like to do that you guys are going to find out about me, I like tabletop role-playing games. This stemmed from the first time I ever played a tabletop role-playing game was when I was married to my ex-wife. Her brother was into tabletop role-playing games, and we played a game called Gamma World. And it was a science fiction role-playing game. And, you know, the only thing I knew about role-playing games was Dungeons and Dragons. And, you know, from what I knew about it, I never played it when I was younger. I play a rendition of it now. But from when I first heard about it, it was like, Dungeons and Dragons, that's wrong. It's got demons and it's Satan. And it's like, we're okay, you know, some opinions, you know, will have those things. When I personally play it, that's never in there. Because what people fail to realize is that role-playing games are a system of play which allow you to use your imagination to create any story that you want. That is what role-playing is. You decide on a character, you decide on a role that you want to play, and you do it. And so, playing Gamma World in a sci-fi setting, I love sci-fi, you know, so I immediately was hooked onto that. And I played it was science fiction fantasy, and I played, my very first character was a guy named Nason Eleazar. He was a half-elf, and a half-elf rogue, and he was the dopest, baddest thing ever. He was sneaky, little underhanded dude, but he pulled out some cool stuff, boy. I mean, that was my dude, Nason Eleazar. He was the bomb. And to this day, he still exists. I port him into other games that I have, that I've played, and, you know, we'll bring him back to life every once in a while. But I think it's super important to play these types of games, too. I could go on a rant about role-playing games and what I think they're about, but that's going to be for another time. And in fact, I might talk about that on my role-playing game podcast. But nerd culture is huge. And right now, I think it's really cool because there's people coming out of their shells or coming out of the woodwork with people who've had these desires to express themselves in this way. And now they can do so safely without being made fun of. Because before, if you liked those things back when you're younger, or if you're an adult like myself that likes the Power Rangers or likes games or likes, you know, superheroes, you know, back then, even I remember when I was younger, adults in that time who were interested in those things were made fun of. They were ridiculed, you know. It was looked down upon because you're supposed to be an example and you're supposed to be mature. You're supposed to be an adult. And it was crazy. I never forget in middle school, one of the teachers had a place. He had bought comic cards and sports cards, and he would sell them to the kids every day out of his classroom. And he used that money to buy supplies for his class, which is super cool. But I remember the teachers were getting on his case. They were cracking down on him. They're like, Mr. Sinclair, that's his name, Mr. Sinclair. He said, you can't have this stuff anymore in here because it's promoting this type of attitude and the kids aren't focused on school and blah, blah, blah. But he was the only teacher out of all the teachers in the whole school. He was the only teacher that had enough supplies for all the students whenever they needed them. And in fact, he shared his stuff with other teachers. They knew he was the guy to go to, you know. But they knocked him down for it. And I remember the year of eighth grade, he stopped selling cards and he stopped doing it because the teacher, the principal, and the school board got on his case about it. And pretty much, I think they kind of threatened his job. But it was just crazy. But now, nowadays, you can do these things with no shame, with reckless abandon, to be able to talk about it. The nerd communities are so huge. And I say nerd not to be mean, but it's an affectionate term now. It's not a mean term like how it used to be represented before in the past. I'm curious to know what kind of things you guys are into. What kind of secret, I guess, nerd-isms that you have that you really don't tell many people about, but that you love with passion. I want to know what those things are. Do you like Twilight? You know, are you a Harry Potter fan? Are you a Harry Potter nerd? Are you a Power Ranger nerd like myself? A Superman, DC Comics, Marvel nerd? Are you those types of things? Are you that type of nerd? If you're a superhero nerd in this day and age, it is a wonderful and privileged time to live in. Especially if you're from the old school and have been following all these comic books since maybe you were a kid. To see these things in movies now, and, you know, superheroes pretty much being the biggest thing out there right now. Thank you, Marvel Studios. It's cool. And then, you know, we're living in a time now where Star Wars is starting to wrap up its story. You know, I'm hoping to God that the movie is decent. Ugh, I want it to be so bad. And I'm pretty much seeing it because I just want to see how it ends. But being a nerd for all these things in this time, you know, where technology is at the point where the impossible, even special effects, are now possible. Everything is just so fantastical. You know, it's a good time to be a nerd. I'm telling you, it is a great time to be a nerd. And unapologetically, too. You know, and if you've grown, if you're a grown nerd, you know, you could have all the nerd space you want in your house. You remember how back in the day when your mama used to have, you know, she had her collections. She had a china cabinet. Don't mess with my china cabinet. That was her collectible good plates. She ain't even, you know, she used those. She pulled those out when the reverend would come over to eat some dinner, or really, really important special person would come over. The fine china, you know, or your grandmama. She had a crystal collection. You know, she had crystals in there that looked like jacked up earrings, you know, half broken, half tooled earrings. You know, she got some of them pieces from the chandelier, but she wasn't going to tell you that. And even though you seen that same chandelier in Goodwill last week, you know, she got it up in her crystal cabinet, like it's rare, one of a kind pieces up in there, just sitting up in there like, oh, that's pretty, grandmama. You know, that's, you know, knowing full well you saw that already. Or teacups, you know. Nowadays, us as grown nerds, we can have our own menagerie of nerd stuff. You know, we got statue cases. We have, you know, and my friend, he's a huge Transformers fan. He's got a case. He's got full of Transformer toys in. You know, shouts out to Brandon. What's up? What's good? You know, that's what you could do. And if you're grown, you can give yourself a whole room. Man caves nowadays, if they're nerds, they straight up got, forget a pool table and a big giant screen, big screen TV, unless you one of those sports football heads. I get that. But now man caves nowadays, they got pool tables, foosball tables, arcades, games, and drinks and snacks. It's amazing. With all kind of superhero memorabilia in them, it's amazing. It's incredible. I would like one of those. If I lived on the East Coast and had a house where I could accommodate that, I would definitely have that. I sure would. You know, it's cool. It's a good time to be a nerd because you can go out a lot with your passion. There's a celebrity, Joe Manganiello. He played Deathstroke in Batman vs. Superman. And he's a huge, huge Dungeons & Dragons nerd. He's the guy who's married to Sofia Vergara. He's got an entire level of his house that is all Dungeons & Dragons stuff. You know, it's got a whole, he's got a big giant table. I mean, tons of people could come in and play. He's run massive campaigns out of that thing. And that place is impressive. He's got dioramas. He's got miniatures. He's got all kinds of terrain. I mean, this dude's got it booked out to the max. Okay. So that's what I'm talking about, the dream of being grown with the really nerd obsession, you know. And I believe deep down, everybody's got one. Everybody really does have a nerd obsession of some sort. So I want to know yours. I want you guys to leave me a comment on Instagram. Shoot me a DM or shoot me a private message in the stories there. You can also shoot me a tweet, the Stuff IDW, on Instagram at the Stuff Podcast Show. Shoot me an email, thestuffpodcastshow@gmail.com. I want to know your nerd obsessions. Tell me what they are. I'd love to hear them. If you meet me and see me in person, you know, I know there's some of y'all at work. Tell me, y'all can tell me at work. Whatever, it's all good. But I want to know what them's obsessions be. All right, because I like to hear it. I don't want you guys acting like, oh, I'm too good for that. I don't have that. Y'all know y'all be watching Pretty Little Liars or Big Little Liars or whatever kind of liars you like to watch. 90210, remember that? You know, little shows, stuff like that. You know, you're a nerd about that stuff. Show it off. Be proud of it. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be hiding in the closet like R. Kelly. Don't do that. Just bring expose to the world. It's fine. It's okay. No judges. Do that. Anyways, let me know what you guys' obsessions are. Love to hear them.
So there's one thing I haven't talked about very much here on the stuff since I've had this podcast, I think. I don't talk very much about music often. I need to change that. Why? Because music is one of my loves. I love talking about music. I love music. I should be talking about it more, but I don't for some reason. And honestly, I don't know why. I think I did talk about it before in the past and in a few of my older episodes, but as far as a whole, I don't think I talk about them that much. Anyways, with that being said, I want to talk about my new hobby that I started doing as of this week. I moved into a new place and a new space area, and I have wanted to for the longest time start. I wanted to start a vinyl collection, and now I have begun to do so. Now, some of you guys are going to clown me if there are some of you music heads out there who have a vinyl collection. I need some help. I need some suggestions. I would love for you guys to hit me up with some records you guys think I should get my hands on, music that you guys think I should check out. This hobby of mine is also going to be a foray of me, not only discovering or not only listening to music that I already enjoy and love, but it's also going to be a foray into me discovering new music that I can get into or experiment with, experiment listening to. So I want to use this as a platform to where I can start finding out about new music and just gaining some music knowledge, I guess. I have a really good friend I've come to know over the last couple of months. Her name is Kaya, who's a huge Beatles fan. Now, I know some Beatles stuff. I know Beatles. But I can't say that I'm a huge Beatles fan. And I know there's some of you out there that's going to be like, oh my God, how do you not like the Beatles? They're the greatest band ever. Calm down. Okay? I'm gonna learn. I'm probably gonna buy a Beatles album. I'm gonna maybe a greatest hits album, and listen to some of the music and get to know it. See, that's what I mean as far as getting to know some music, and I want to learn about the Beatles, what they're all about, what the hype was. Cause real talk, I don't understand it. I never got it. Never understood it. And as far as I know, that was kind of like the boy band hype of the '60s and '70s. Because the Beatles pretty much was, a boy band equivalent to what, New Direction is today, and NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, all them. The Beatles was their boy band, So, I'm gonna get into that. But to start, I want to stay familiar with vinyls that I had. I got, of course, my very first vinyl I got was Michael Jackson's Thriller. Duh. But I got Michael Jackson, I've got Jay-Z's Blueprint, I got The Greatest Showman soundtrack because I love musicals. I talked about it before on one of my shows before how much I like musicals. And I'm probably not going to have a lot of musical vinyls, only musicals that I really, really like and I'll enjoy the musical numbers too. Greatest Showman was huge on my list because The Greatest Showman was one of those excellent musicals where every single number was good. I was so impressed with The Greatest Showman. I was like, if I find this on vinyl, I'm getting it. So I tracked it down. What else do I have? I got Earth, Wind & Fire. Duh. I have Purple Rain, the best Prince album ever made. Duh. Had to get that. I found Daft Punk. Lord, yes. Yas. Found that on vinyl, the Discovery album. So good. Ugh, it's so good. So good. I got Sam Cooke. I bought that. I can't wait to listen to that album. That's some old school Motown. I can't not have my brother sitting on the dock of the bay. Can't not have that. That's unacceptable. I got the new Bruno Mars album recently that just came out. I just got picked that one up tonight, so I can't wait to get into that and listen to that on vinyl to see how it sounds. And I got a few others too. I'm probably missing right now. Khaled, Amy Winehouse, great. It just sounds good. I love how vinyl sounds on. I love how music sounds on vinyl. The crackling noise. I like the whole effect of the needle hitting the record and the little crackling noise. It's just sick. But I need help though. You know, this is. If I do it, I want to do it right. And just kind of a little bit of backstory reason why I want to do it. You know, before when I would collect things, I collect baseball cards, comic books was my huge thing after a while. And I just noticed as I'm getting older, I mean, I still like to collect things, would like to. And I haven't had the opportunity to collect things because, you know, the space I've lived in and you know, I just really don't have the room for it. And I know starting a vinyl collection is one of those things where, yeah, I could run out of room really fast if I go too ham with it. But I wanted to get into it because it harkens back to my dad when I was little. I remember my dad sitting in his room, sitting in this room that we used to live. We used to live in a house where there was a separate, it was a two-bedroom house, but the garage area was, the previous owners chopped the garage in half and converted it into a room, which my dad converted into pretty much like our family room slash his music room. And my dad had tons of vinyls. I wouldn't say he had a crazy collection of vinyls, but he had a very good collection of his favorites. And my dad is a huge jazz head, loves jazz. And so he had all kinds of jazz and also all kinds of 60s and 70s R&B music. That was mostly from my recollection of what he collected. And there were some things from the 80s, also R&B music that he collected, and some rock also. I remember, you know, going in and just be like, "Dad, what are you doing? Play with me." You know, he'd be sitting there with these big, massive earphones on, and he'd just be sitting there listening to music, you know, thumbing with his fingers like he's playing the instrument, you know. And I'd probably just be like, "Dang, why can't I do this with him?" You know. And he'd be like, "Get out of the room, go, you know, go play, do whatever you want." You know, because that was his zone, that was his space, that was his time. You know, I had to respect it, but I always wondered, like, what is that? So one day, finally, I don't think I was about. If Daddy, if you listen to this, I mean, or Mom, if you listen to this, ask Dad. But I think he was about, I think I was about, maybe about 10 or 11 when he finally let me listen to his music. And I remember he took the big giant earphones off and he put them on my little big head. And my head was just like, boom, it was overload. Just, I never forgot that. It was just like, wow, this sounds so cool. And, you know, super neat. It's just, it was a different sound of music that I've heard than I was accustomed to hearing. You know, you hear music on TV, or you hear it on the radio, or even you hear it on your earphones with your Walkman. You know, sound quality is just not that great or whatever. Or hearing it on CDs even. It just wasn't the same. But hearing it on vinyl, I remember hearing every single instrument being played. I remember hearing every breath that was, you know, uttered. And the clarity of sound, and it was just an ominous feeling. It was like being right there. And I remember at that time, that's why my dad did what he did. That's why he could spend so much time just sitting and listening to music. And it was, I mean, that was with this jazz, all of that. And my dad had a pretty good collection of music too. I mean, he eventually went away from vinyls and started collecting more CDs. But on his vinyls, I mean, he had Ohio Players, he had Earth, Wind, and Fire, he had the Silvers, he had some Motown. He didn't have very much Motown. He had Good Night. He had New Edition, which I need to find on vinyl. I want to find that one brand new. He had just all kinds of stuff. His jazz, he had Hiroshima, he had Foreplay, he had George Benson, Boss Skaggs, Kenny G. He had like one or two Miles Davis albums. I mean, just goes on. I mean, he had all kinds of stuff. I'm trying to think of one right now. It's an Asian lady. He had, I forget what it was, what her name was, but I mean, that's where I understood. So now that I've kind of gotten away from comic books a little bit, and at least the collecting part, I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe it's my old age. I'm getting older now, so my collection tastes are changing, have changed. Because I don't want to collect something that has no meaning, you know what I mean? So, I mean, music is always going to have an everlasting meaning and is always going to be have a permanence as far as value. There you go, lasting value. Whether it's sentimental, whether it's emotional, no matter what, music is going to be that. And I think that's where it is. So, you know, I've started my fledgling vinyl collection. And I can just anticipate right now, it's gonna be bad. So I've already set up with my finances, my budget for vinyls over time, how much I get to spend on it each month, and you know how much. 'Cause if I don't, it's gonna be bad. It's gonna be bad. Now there's some of you know, vinyl pros out there. I need help. Help me to find a good turntable. I picked up this cheap little record player, like little suitcase looking record player. It looks cool, little retro thing. And I know it's bad. I know. But eventually, it plays the records what I need it to play right now. But eventually, I do want to upgrade. But I want to upgrade to something good. And I want to get a set of headphones that is good. My dad had speakers and headphones. I'm thinking I might just want to stick to headphones, but then I looked up and researched some information. They were like, "Nah, if you're gonna do it, you gotta get speakers too." I'll probably wait to get speakers until I get into my own like full-on apartment or space or whatever before I do that, cause you know that it's gonna be a huge investment. So if I'm gonna do it, I wanna do it right, and I wanna do it in the right space also, to where I can really take advantage of it. So headphones right now are going to be my focus. So I need a good turntable and a good pair of headphones. So if you guys have any suggestions on that, on where I can get that, let me know. Because I want to do it. I'm listening to my records on a Crosley turntable right now. Crosley turntable. I got it from Tiger for like $70. And I have heard nothing but bad. Some reviews are bad, some reviews are good. I felt it was just a good beginner turntable, something to get my feet wet. And as I progress further, of course I'm gonna upgrade my turntable. I will get another one down the line. But you know, I gotta budget it, and for now, this is gonna be good, and that's what I'm gonna do. So, but I would love to hear you guys' thoughts. If there's any of you guys who have vinyl collections or any music suggestions for me to listen to get my hands on, any places to look for bargains and deals, 'cause man, vinyls nowadays cost about anywhere from 20 to or less. Well, brand new. Costs anywhere from $15 to $35, I found. So, you know, I need to bargain hunt too. So if you guys have any suggestions, I was thinking of going out to the Bay Area to Rasputin. I was told of a place in Santa Cruz area where they got a place where I can go there. They have a place in Monterey, close to where I live, of a record spot there that I'm gonna definitely check out. So, but if you guys know of any places online where they got good vinyls, where I can get some good quality vinyls, and also gear too, so that I can, start listening to these vinyls on a good quality turntable too. That would help also. I'd really, really, really appreciate it. But also, tell me what you guys like. Tell me what you like to listen to and what you like to hear, and give me some suggestions. I want to get Imagine Dragons on vinyl, because I imagine hearing those instrumentals and stuff banging on vinyl would be real dope. So anyways, let me know guys. Shoot me email. I'm gonna wrap up the show right now. I just wanted to take a little bit of time and talk about my new hobby, but I'm gonna wrap up the show right now for this week. So anytime you guys have any comments you want to say, shoot me an email over at thestuffpodcast at gmail.com. I am back on Instagram. It's a necessary evil. So you can follow me over on Instagram at the Stuff Podcast Show on Instagram. And because, again, I gotta keep going with this podcast thing. And the only way people will know is if I'm on social media, because that's where everybody's at. So that's what I'm going to do. So follow me over there. I'm also on Twitter at TheStuffIDW. And leave me your comments, your everything. Let me know what you guys thought of the show. And I appreciate you. All right. So thanks again for tuning in. Thank you guys for everything. And I will see you guys next episode next week. Deuces, my people. So, I've been watching a new anime, or just started watching a new anime, called My Hero Academia, and it's cool, because it's a new anime, well, it's not new, I think it's been out for like, I think it came out last year, I'm not sure, but it's cool, because it kind of plays a little bit more in the superhero genre, which is my cup of tea for sure. One of the big things that I like about it is the story between the main character. I'm not huge on all the facts yet, because like I said, I think I'm only two episodes in. I've been watching it on Cartoon Network. And it's funny, because even though I set it to DVR priority, it hasn't recorded all the episodes. So it looks like I'm going to have to go on to Kiss Asian and just download the whole series and just go from there. But so far, from what I've seen, I really, really like the show. It just tells a story about this kid who really wants to become a superhero. Everybody in the world, I guess, is born with superpowers or something called their perk, which is their specific superpower that they have. And, you know, some of these heroes, and then there's some that don't have perks. And some that have these powers go to this special school where they train to learn how to become heroes and things of that nature. And the main character, the main superhero, whose name is All Might, he has a special superpower. And he's unique in the fact that he's like the strongest superhero that ever lives, but nobody knows what his perk is. Nobody knows what his special ability is. And he's always dodging and deflecting the question. And his weakness is unique as well. He's, in reality, even though he's this big giant dude, you know, with this big giant smile on his face, he, when he's powered down, so to speak, he's like this super frail, skinny dude who actually has this massive injury. And he can only transform, I believe it's like once or twice a day. So that was a really unique spin on that character. But also what makes him cool, too, is the way his perk works. He can actually transfer his powers, I guess, to somebody else, which then makes the perk even stronger the more he passes it along. So this kid, who's a huge fan of All Might, he really wants to be a hero, and he proved himself by rushing into a situation, saving actually another hero in the story who was consumed by this villain. And because of that, All Might saw what he had done, and he was stuck in a situation where he couldn't transform into All Might again to save everyone. So this kid took it upon himself, out of sheer instinct pretty much, to go in and save this other superhero who was in danger. And so he was chosen by All Might to inherit these powers. And so he did this training, and he's doing all that right now. Like I said, I'm only two episodes in. I have really, really, really enjoyed the show. And so far, I'm going to go on Kiss Asian. I'm not going to wait for Cartoon Network anymore. I think they take too long. I don't know if Toonami is just, you know, I don't know if they don't show all the cartoons at the same time. Maybe my DVR is just not recording them like I told it to. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But I know I'm behind. So I'm going to go take care of that. And
get a full rundown on this particular anime. I like anime a lot. I'm very particular into which ones I watch. I have a good friend, Will. Big shouts to Will, who's very much into anime. He's like my go-to guy. Even though I don't watch everything he does, he knows everything. He's watched almost every anime, and I say almost because anything to do with mechs, he doesn't watch it. He hates mechs with a passion. He thinks they should all die. I think mechs are extremely cool, but he thinks they should all die. But you know, hey, everybody has their taste, to each their own. but when it comes to anime and, you know, that genre, he's the guy I really go to. He really enjoys talking about that. So whenever I have a question about something or I see something that I might be interested in, I talk to him first, and he's like, no, that anime is garbage. Or, yeah, this anime is amazing. Or, this is okay, but I don't know if you'd be into it, blah, blah, blah. So he's cool up on that. The first access to anime I've ever had was Dragon Ball Z. So, and then after that was the Gyver. So those are the two animes I got started with. So going into other anime genres has been, you know, like I said, very picky and choosy. I've seen other animes that I like. I don't know if you call it action, but it's like kind of like a soap opera, I guess. Or they call it slice of life or something like that. It's called Chobits. It's one of my favorite animes. And I enjoyed that one very much. The story on that was super cool. But, you know, it's funny because Japanese storylines, I mean, they could be into kind of some weird stuff. So the stories that they come up with is very interesting. Not things that Americans would come up with very often. So I guess that opens the door to a lot of storytelling opportunities that, you know, Americans wouldn't normally, you know, delve into. Every genre of everything kind of has their far left side that they just go ham in, which is like, I'm good with all that. But what I'm saying is that, you know, this, you know, the Japanese kind of think outside the box as far as storytelling is concerned. And so they come up with a lot of unique and cool ideas, which is why I think anime is such a unique, a unique genre of animation, cartooning, storytelling, all of that. So anyways, back to My Hero Academia. I'm looking forward to getting all the episodes and checking it out. I'll probably come back and revisit this. I'll probably even do another episode just of this, on this stuff, just on anime in general, because, you know, I know that that's a huge topic, and I know that there's people that really, appreciate the genre, that really, enjoy the art, and I think it's something worth talking about. So for sure next season, I think I'm going to do an episode just talking strictly about anime, and hopefully get some content from you guys, some feedback telling me what you guys enjoy, what you like, what you guys want to hear me talk about, and then go from there. So this guy right here is doing a experiment on himself. You know, I'm about to be 37 years old soon in April, okay? And, you know, when you start reaching that age, you know, you start getting a little, your health starts catching up with you. Things start happening to your body. It's like puberty all over again, but it's like for getting older, you know? And so, you know, stuff starts shutting down, stuff starts going all weird and everything like that. So, you know, I was like, you know what? I need to do something. I need to make a change. I need to, you know, be a little bit more healthier. And so one of the things I'm trying out right now is being vegetarian. Now, I know that that is kind of like a fad type thing right now, it seems like. I mean, there are some people who are legitimately going with the change, and, you know, they're really making that a lifestyle change of theirs, which is awesome, which I totally commend and actually admire, because, you know, it's always good to, you know, have good health. But, you know, there's some who like to be vegetarian and vegan just so that they could tell other people that they're being vegetarian and vegan. I'm doing it primarily for my health. I'm not going to tell you that, you know, I'm doing it because, you know, cruelty to animals and all of that. I'm sorry. I love the pig. I love the cow. I love the goat. and all the meat that they provide and everything for you, you know. So, you know, preventing cruelty to animals or slaughter of animals is not my reason. It's mostly just for health. But one of the things I discovered, being a vegetarian is hands down one of the hardest things ever, because being a huge meat eater in general, you know, when you get a plate of ribs in front of me, it's over. When you get a plate of carnitas in front of me, and me loving Mexican food, it's over. When you give me a plate of bacon, it's over. You know, I mean, it is so stinking difficult. But being vegetarian, I've seen, does have its benefits. My downfall, I think, you know, I think I could have been a little bit more prepared. I mean, I did like a month preparation and research before. But I think I could have done more. I think I could have had because I prepare myself through, you know, a little bit of research, how I could eat. I did my research on, you know, just trying to get into the right mindset. I even stopped eating meat like a few days before officially going vegetarian. And that was the 1st of March, by the way. Now, I'm going to be straight up. I'm going to be honest. I have failed. Okay. I have failed. I'm just saying straight up. I failed. But, you know, I gotta hop back on it. You know what I mean? And because one of the things that is crazy trying out the vegetarian thing, and I'm only trying it out for 30 days because, again, I'm a meat eater. I don't think I could ever go throughout life not eating meat at all. I mean, bacon is just too delicious and it's too heavenly not to eat. But, you know, at the end of it all, I'll probably end up going to, like, you know, eating meat maybe once a week, something like that. Not ingesting as much meat. And the meat that I'm talking about will be chicken and turkey and things like that, you know, a little bit of pork, whatever. But the red meat, I'll probably end up cutting a lot of that out. I don't eat a lot of red meat anyway, but I'll probably be cutting a lot of that out in general, because it really is not good for you. Even though it has the highest concentration of B12, you know, it's not good for you to have in mass amounts. Or if anything, it'll be meat portions, you know. But it's been a road. I just want to talk about it because it has been crazy. It has been a little bit rough. So what I want to do is I want to kind of open this up to discussion. What, you know, for those of you that are vegetarians out there, and actually, and even those of you who are vegans, because I've been told and I've noticed that seems to be the natural progression for those that can and have stuck with it. They are able to go from vegetarian to vegan to eating nothing coming from an animal, which I think just for me is a little bit much also, because it's like, how can you not have honey? Honey is delicious. Or how can you not have butter? Butter is delicious. Cheese, really? No cheese? Sorry. Couldn't do it. I'm just curious as to how you guys are able to do it. Those of you who are vegetarians, how did you guys go from eating meat to not eating meat? What was your story behind that? What did you guys do in order to make that transition smoothly? And how did you get through the humps in order to just say, hey, you know what? This is much better for me. This makes me feel better. Because I will tell you, it did make me feel better. And I immediately started losing weight also. You know, putting a lot of water, cutting out soda, and just eating vegetarian for the time that I've been going at it, you know, I did notice marked differences, and I did feel a little bit better. But the meat just calls, you know, that smell of meat just calls. But I do need to get back. I am jumping back on the wagon. I have jumped back on the wagon, and I'm going to continue, you know, doing it. So I would like to hear you guys' experiences as far as being vegetarian is concerned. What are some of the positive things? And what are, and actually too, let's tell some truth here, people. What are some of the drawbacks to being vegetarian and or vegan? You know, what things do you find hard? I would like to know what you guys find hard socially. I'd like to know what you guys find hard economically. I'd like to know what you guys find hard psychologically, physically, all of those things. I would really love you guys' feedback on that, because, you know, I think it's a good place to start. You leave your comments here on Anchor FM. If you don't have the app, you can download the app on your phone. Follow the Steph Podcast Show. Leave me a message answering any of those questions. I'm going to put them on the show, and I will put those on and we'll revisit this again in the future. And I'd love to see, hear you guys' thoughts on what you guys did of this. It really is, you know, if I just take away the selfish aspect of it, it really is a good thing to do. You know, being vegetarian at least. Again, vegan would be too much for me. I would not be able to handle that. I know myself too well enough, you know, to know that that would not work for me. But being vegetarian, that's at least a little bit more doable for me. So, I would like to know what you guys think on that. Okay? So, leave me your comments and your experiences here at the Steph Podcast Show. Again, here I'm on here on Anchor FM, so make sure you download the app and follow me on Anchor so you guys can get this wonderful show every other week. Or every week. Not say every other week. Every week. Alright? So, anyways, with that said, we're gonna wrap this up with a few ending words, and then we're gonna shut down the show for today. Alright?
You are listening to the Best of the Stuff Podcast Show. Be sure to join us back here again on July 7th for Season 4 of the Stuff Podcast Show. Make sure you listen and subscribe on all the major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify.